Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Please bet responsibly. Today, Jaden Stevenson. Was the ban harsh? Was it enough? We'll tell you our thoughts. And also, we go through round 14 and our tips.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. Thursday morning, so it means it's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast, the second edition this week. Quarters.
I've just won $20. I bet on that you would open this podcast.
Oh, well played. Well, hang on. You were playing in this game.
I think
you're in a bit of trouble.
I think I am.
And Jaden Stevenson certainly is, and we shouldn't make light of that because 10-week suspension, another 12 weeks over the course of his career suspended. Should he offend again, Quarters, he will be available to play finals for Collingwood. Is the suspension right? Is it heavy or is it light, do you think?
It's not heavy. It's right. It's just about right. Just about spot on. I spent a bit of time potting the AFL, so I'll give him a tick for this one. Swift response and a good response. Look, I don't know. Look, there's several issues here. One is the fact that the AFL does take a bit of money from gambling advertising. This podcast is brought to you
by Tab Touch,
and we love Tab Touch. All we ask is that people gamble responsibly, and I just think that, you know, yes, the AFL does accept with one hand the money from these gambling companies and then be condemning one of its players. But look, it's part of your orientation as an AFL player. There are many areas covered, and one of them is ram down your throat about betting on AFL games. He's bet on games in which he was playing. He's bet on his own performance. The investigative officers say there was no performance affected by his gambling on the games, but he's bet on the game. So I just think every bit of 10 weeks is deserved. The 12 weeks hanging over his head for the remainder of his career, he deserves to have that. It's A-grade dumb, Duff. That's what it is.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, where have you got
15. Yeah. And, you know, and we're talking about, and I was shattered to hear this because I love Jaden Stevenson as a footballer. Mm. He is one of the smartest footballers out there on the field in terms of his running patterns and he's just a good player at the very start of his career. So I just beggars belief that he would do this.
Yeah, no, it's a strange one. This, as you mentioned, they are crystal clear on this. I mean, mate, this is crystal clear for us. We can't bet.
No, we can't.
Once we've entered the stadium. If they find bets that can be traced to an accredited journalist who may or may not have been in change rooms and may or may not have received insider information, Once you've entered the stadium, we cannot lay a bet.
And we should point out we have signed off on documentation on that. And
absolutely.
We're happy to do so.
Yep.
Happy
yep.
to do so.
And and it was made very clear to us at the time that that there would be major ramifications if they could trace bets back to us while we were inside the stadium covering an AFL game.
There should be, Duff, because, you know, we are privy to privileged information.
That, well, not often now.
No, but
in theory, it is possible we could come across privileged
information. And it does happen.
Yeah.
And I think if you're using that information to enhance your bets, it's just you would deserve to be summarily dismissed or at least meted out some form of harsh punishment. And I think this sits about right. And I think the language from Collingwood and Stevenson, they felt it sat about right too.
Yeah, and he was lucky he self-reported because otherwise he would have been doing the whole 22-week stretch.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't want to question the kid, but, you know, the third time he thought, oh, this is starting to worry me a little bit, you know. What, not the first and the second time? I mean,
it's a bit like Ben Stratton and the Hawks with his pinching.
Well, the only difference there, it wasn't outlawed at the time, pinching, and now it all of a sudden is. And we know the gambling.
Yeah, I would have thought there was enough disquiet about it after the Brisbane game for Hawthorn to think that we shouldn't be going back there.
Well, anyway, look,
so not $36 worth of bets.
Yeah. Got nothing back from them, so, thankfully.
It wasn't even sort of like wise allocation of resources. But like $36 cost you 10 weeks.
And they're all damning, but the most damning of them was the big 65-metre Torpio when he needed to kick three as part of his exotic bet. And he kicked the 65-metre Torpio. So we know why he kicked the 65-metre Torpio now. It's not a great look. And I think this will... will this have an impact on Collingwood? Absolutely. I still think they'll be right up there in the mix, but this will have an impact. He's a damn good player, and he's had a really good season.
He is a good player.
Very big part of their structure too.
But I think at the end of the day, they have good depth. I think they have good coverage. If they can stand up Jamie Elliott, which has been a problematic thing for them, I think they get that player that comes in that gives them another point of difference. And I think having Hosk and Elliott in the team, it kind of gives you a bit of cover for what Stevenson brings. But he's a very clever player. Mm. He's lightning quick. He can play deep and come up at the ball on leads, or he can get up the ground and then get back in behind his man and beat him back.
Tell you what, you're coming in week one of the finals after 10 weeks off. That's a big ask.
Yeah, when second-year player.
Yeah, big ask.
Particularly with that behind you.
I think so.
As well.
There's a lot of pressure on him when he re-enters.
Opposition supporters won't miss him.
No.
In the finals.
Well, I'd suggest they won't miss him for the rest of his career.
Probably, yeah.
Because it's a big... We're not talking about a two-week penalty here that you sweep under the carpet and forget.
Yeah, no.
This is big news.
Absolutely right. Other issues put to bed, pretty much, the Stratton thing.
Look, as I said earlier in the week, I expected him to get one and one. I was hoping he'd get one and a fine. Mm. I thought that was a bit harsh, but I think everyone's accepted that that's okay and we can move on, and I don't think anyone will be pinching anymore.
No, there'll be no pinching, I can guarantee.
There'll be plenty of whacking into arms when...
Yeah, I think there is scope for the umpires to just, when they see it get excessive, and when a player is clearly not out there to beat his opponent with skills of the game, but trying to, you know, just take him away from the game.
When have defenders ever been out there to beat them by skills of the game?
Well, maybe it's time they were. Yeah. You know, when an umpire sees that, just run over and say, one more... and it's a free. And if it doesn't stop, just pay the free.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think if the umpire had a run out to Brent Stratton in the Brisbane game at quarter time and said, keep doing that, I'm going to give him a shot for goal at the top of the square.
If the goal umpire tells me one more time...
Wouldn't have seen it again.
You're pinching?
Would not have seen it again. Exactly. The last thing he wants to do is hand over goal. So yeah. I think they need to get that right.
You hit these people where it hurts, and that is on the scoreboard.
And let's hope we see a bit of common sense around the terraces at footy games going forward now. People need to feel safe at the footy, but I don't think we need overkill. And we saw that at the weekend.
I just wonder, Quarters, whether given that this is a balance, and even the Marvel Stadium people acknowledge this, it's a balance between not being, you know, overbearing, but also wanting people, particularly families, to feel safe at the footy. I wonder whether there are two things. I think I wonder whether we need to have family areas. You know how you used to have...
There used to be family areas. Are there not family areas now?
Well, I think it gets complicated. So you take, if you're, say, doling out tickets for West Coast and Fremantle games, when they transferred from stadium to stadium, they had all these people that like sitting next to each other and they had to put them next to each other. So I think it's difficult to set up specific family areas, particularly over here.
And how do you police a family area not letting the odd Drongo through?
Well, that's the other issue.
You're always going to get these people at the footy, Duff. Yeah. You're never going to outlaw them entirely. But I think that's what these people are there for, these security officials, to stamp them out when they see them.
But I also wonder whether... when we find these people, i.e. people punching on in the grandstand.
Give them 2 years, 3 years, whatever you give them. But give them a substantial ban from the game.
I reckon life.
Yeah. Okay.
You ban...
If you're prepared to punch someone at the footy, then you probably deserve life, to be honest.
Ross Lyon has a saying, which I think comes from, I suspect it's Stalin or someone like that. Execute one, educate 1,000.
Yeah. It's probably fair.
That's brutal. And I think if it was applied in its original form, probably totally totalitarian. But, I think if you make a couple of examples of people that behave in a manner that is completely contrary to what you want, you may get a moderation of behaviour.
Now, I don't want to make light of this, Duff, but I will tell you a very funny story. Many years ago, I was at a Hawthorn-Carlton game at Princes Park, in my late teens, and... having this old, good old banter with this Carlton supporter behind me, and it was quite, you know, quite vocal. And at one stage, I
expletive free, no
I
doubt.
Threw my pie into the ground. At one stage, I was that angry at what this bloke was saying. In the second half, and then half time came, and after half time, Hawthorn ran over the top of Carlton, and of course, I'm turning around and just giving it to this bloke who said nothing, and I thought, phew, it's a bit strange. And at the end of the game, even has put his hand out to shake my hand, which I clearly did. And then we're on our way away from the ground afterwards, and I said to my mates, that guy went really quiet. And then they just all broke up, and they told me at half time, when I'd gone off to the toilet, they told him I'd be a bit careful with my mate. And he goes, why? They said, he's just out. He's done time. And he said, what for? And he said, punching a bloke up at the footy. So,
which of course is not true.
Of course it's not. No, of course it's not. But always remember that. Poor bloke.
I remember going to the footy with Luke Morfess in 1991. Luke Morfess, of course, now the media manager at Fremantle. And Luke was barracking in a West Australian way. And I had to point out to him, having been in Melbourne in 86, 87, that there was the West Australian way and there was the Collingwood way, where it was a West Coast Collingwood game. And of course, that was before Fremantle entered the competition.
What's so, the West Australian way?
Well, you kind of get away with a bit more barracking between West Australian clubs.
Okay.
Well, in the waffle days, than you did if you were a West Australian at a Collingwood game.
Yeah.
It's fair to say that Luke got told by one Collingwood supporter what would happen if he continued to barrack in the way he was barracking. And it was, we were left in no doubt. And I had to explain to Luke, you think this is just banter, but he means that.
Some of them do, some of them don't.
Oh, well, he was with a bunch of equally threatening three or four blokes, so I was pretty confident they meant it.
Nothing like Victoria Park, was there?
No, that was Waverley.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, we were out there.
A bit more space to run at Waverley. And Victoria Park, you're closed in. There's nowhere to hide.
Anyway, we will move on with the other thing we should deal with, of course, is the Nathan Vardy, Andrew Gaff, Andrew Brayshaw thing. West Coast got on the front foot. Adam Simpson came out and apologised for it.
Footballers aren't nuclear physicist Duff.
And that's we have evidence of that this week.
That's right. So, and I think, look, it was unpalatable. But, you know, as you say, West Coast got the front foot. Adam Simpson apologised. Fremantle accepted it.
I think Andrew Gaff apologised.
Yeah, Andrew Gaff apologised as well. So, and we move on. That's the way to deal with it.
Yeah, quickly. Quickly. And I think that was good. It's just.
Did he kick the goal?
No, he missed it.
Yeah.
It's a little, like, it's quite funny. We've watched them do it a lot. That whoever's birthday it is, they're made to spin around with the ball above their head.
Yeah, yeah.
So they get dizzy.
We've all played these games.
And then they line up and try and take a shot at goal. And not only have they spun him around and made him dizzy, then they're all yelling at him and they're yelling out stuff. And they were rolling balls into his path and all that kind of thing to complicate matters more. So that was the context. The comment was made in. It was a thoughtless
comment. It was.
Having said that, when blokes are with blokes, things can get thoughtless pretty quickly.
Yeah, we used to do that on golf trips, spinning around, but then you'd have to scull a beer. It's very difficult. You'd have a lot of Aries.
You know, Adam Simpson was saying yesterday that they would have to talk to Nathan Vardy about, you know, his choice of what he thought was humour. I would have thought they'd want to be having a chat to their social media people as well, because
they put it up.
How that got up on any social media platform is a bit staggering, really.
Yeah. Well, they obviously didn't hear that comment, because if they had
it was pretty clear on the video.
Yeah.
So I would have thought at some point someone should have looked at that and gone, nah, that needs to.
Yep. I'd agree with that.
And then someone taps Nathan Vardy on the shoulder and say, well, one, pretty thoughtless comment to make. Two, you realise the guy's brother is at the club.
Yeah.
And you realise the bloke, you know, one, he got his jaw broken, but two, it's going to be several years before he finds out whether he keeps all his teeth. So the whole idea of which teeth Andrew Brayshaw has, which are viable and which teeth aren't, that's going to be decided over a number of years. I think he's already lost a couple and he may lose a couple more. So it's going to be an ongoing event for Andrew Brayshaw. Andrew Gaff is, having done it in the first place, has dealt with it as best he can. Andrew Brayshaw has dealt with it as best he can.
Cost him a grand final, cost him a premiership gaff too. So
it did, you know, yeah.
There's a big penalty, but there's a... Well, we won't go all over that again, but we know our thoughts on that. So
yeah. Okay, so let's get on to round 14.
Tonight, Thursday night footy.
Optus Stadium. Now, if we cast our minds back 12 months, quarters.
First eight goals.
Essendon.
Mm. There was no Kennedy, no Darling in that game, correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So Essendon got off to an eight-goal lead, stunned the Eagles, who won inside 50s on the night, kicked 6-16, I think. So inaccurate kicking. I think that tells the story, really. And I'll tell you one thing, Essendon won't be kicking the first eight goals tonight.
They did it. So that the lack of targets for West Coast was a big problem. The other problem was they couldn't stop the bounce off the back half of Saad and McKenna. So that's going to be an interesting challenge.
Well, therein my belief in that Hutchings, I think, will go to one of them.
Okay.
I reckon Saad or McKenna. He was in really good form, so we'll see. But I think that might be their first cab off the rank.
Saad,
you cut their half-back run, mate. That's Essendon.
Yeah, you're right. That is that is plan A for Essendon. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they tackle that. You're tipping West Coast?
I'm tipping West Coast by about four goals. I think Essendon struck some pretty good form. And they win this, they're in the eight. The Eagles win this, they're a game clear in the four, I think. So there's a lot to gain from winning here. I think it's, look, I'm pretty confident that the Eagles will win this. A couple of big ins. I'm not sure about Yo yet. Is he still subject to a fitness test?
They named him, so six.
Well, let's assume he plays.
Six ins. So we've got the veteran Chris Marston back. Of course, Yo, Hearn, obviously, if available, they play. Oscar Allen shows you how highly thought of Oscar Allen is.
He's Nelson and Jared Cameron.
Yeah, Nelson, I'm pleased to see Nelson get a chance because I think he's been. It's one of those situations where you're playing well consistently at waffle level and there's just not an opportunity opening up for you. And I think Tom Cole, for 6 or 7 weeks now, has been just going, I think. And so for Jackson Nelson's at a point in his career now where he either needs to go forward into the AFL or he probably needs to seek opportunity somewhere else. So this is a big moment, I think, in Jackson Nelson's career, and hopefully he takes that with both hands.
Rotham, Waterman, Smith, the other outs, and Rioli and Vardy suspended, of course. So a lot of change, which is not great for a team.
We've had this discussion.
Yeah,
haven't we?
So there's probably too many, but. I still have faith in the Eagles. It's at home. Really excited about what Jared Cameron will bring to the table. You know, let's not expect too much. It's a big stage, but I don't think he lacks the self-belief. So
no, he doesn't. I watched him play on TV against one of the, obviously the Vic Country or Vic Metro at Cadinia Park last year. He kicked five for
when
the 18s.
Showing the guns off.
He was, fair to say, there was a lot of ability and a lot of attitude.
Yeah.
And I saw him play two finals in the Waffle Colts last year, and similar thing, you know, a lot of ability, a lot of attitude. I think West Coast has gone to work on the attitude a little bit, whereas there's still a bit of swagger there, but I think they realise that he's going to get choked by someone if he runs around doing that in the AFL.
She's a pretty brutal school out there too, I'd tip Duff. I think it gets knocked out of you pretty quickly.
He's got a lot of the traits that Charlie has.
Yes.
You know, he's very quick, he's very good around goals, and he's clever.
Mm.
And he gets himself involved in the play. He's not one of those forwards who runs where the ball isn't. He gets to where the ball is. So I think a lot to like about Jared Cameron, and we really look forward to seeing him play.
So you're picking
West Coast by 25 points.
Oh, 24 me, 25 you. On to Friday night, Sydney v Hawthorn. Hawthorn, of course, without Stratton, but big news today, Roughhead in.
That's a bit of steadiness and a bit of experience there, perhaps, do you think after the week they've had?
I do. Hawthorn's won their last four in Sydney too.
Yeah.
I think it is steadiness. Clarko said he's not back. Don't look at goals or lack of thereof in Box Hill. It's about his running patterns. That's what they need.
Yep.
Also, him coming in with Stratton out, I think, allows Sicily to go back. So Sicily, Frawley, they'll need good defenders back there. Look, Hawthorn will give a good shake of this game, and there'll be a bit of siege mentality about the Hawks this week. They've been under the pump. So expect a really bold showing. I think Sydney's form's good enough, though, to be able to win this game. I'm going to tip Sydney. I think it'll be relatively close, maybe a couple of goals, but I'm confident. I've just got a feeling, call it a gut feel or whatever. Buddy's not got a great record against the Hawks since crossing. I've just got a feeling.
This might be the night.
Might be the night because they're just starting to run into a bit of form, and he needs probably a good statement against the Hawks. Yeah. Not that he has to prove much. He's been a magnificent career, but I've just got a concern there. The other interesting matchups will be Sinclair McAvoy, and you can expect Hewitt or Clark to go to O'Meara, or maybe Henderson, either or. Mm. I think it's been pretty clear in recent weeks O'Meara's gettable at the moment, yep, given the lack of depth in the Hawthorn midfield. And I think Henderson has become one of Hawthorn's keys with that outside run. So you might find someone on him as well.
And he's a good ball user. So, yep, you know, this is what you want from your outside runners, isn't it? That they use the ball well. So, Ricky Henderson has become a very important player for the Hawks. I'm like you.
Great player.
I'm going to go for Sydney. But I do think I'm quite fascinated that a lot of what we see about West Coast now is there's an element of Hawthorn to it. You know, it's ball movement. They use width of the ground. They use width to create holes to move the ball through. They are clueless at the SCG, utterly clueless. Mm. And we saw that last time out before the bye. They had no idea how to play the ground, no idea how to get the ball forward, and no idea how to defend. Hawthorn, same school of sort of like how football should be played, play the ground very well. And as you mentioned, they've chalked up a number of notable victories there, all in close games, but they play the ground very well, and West Coast just don't at all.
Mm.
So that's fascinating. I'm going to tip the Swans, but I'm going to say it's going to be close. I think under 10 points.
Mm. On a Saturday at the MCG, big game for Freo, Melbourne v Freo. A couple of big matchups there. Darcy again will, find it.
Maxi Gawn.
It's going to be a big challenge, Maxi Gawn.
Yeah.
Three in a row, Freo won 8 of their past 10 against the D's, and 3 have been at the G, and 3 have been in Darwin, I think. So they've got it. They'll have no fears about A, playing at the G, and B, playing Melbourne at the G.
Mm.
Having said that, I'm going to pick Melbourne here. There's every reason I should pick Freo. I've just got it's an away game. Melbourne sort of running into a bit of form. I think May and Lever starting to sort of get some games under their feet should be enough for them to get over the line. I tip it warily, though. I'm saying by a kick or two.
This is the game for me that Fremantle has to win as a supporter. This would frank my belief. And I'm with you. I'm going to go for Melbourne. I just look at this game and it just smells like danger to me. You know, Gawn v Darcy in the ruck. Darcy coming off a mammoth effort last week, but Max Gawn is a massive challenge. And I'll guarantee you Max Gawn won't run out of puff.
No, he's a good player.
In the last quarter like the Port Adelaide ruckman did. I think they've got the personnel to cover Jesse Hogan in attack. So I think however Fremantle gets their goals, it's going to have to be if they can get 2 out of Jesse, I think that'll be a very good result. So they're going to have to find some goals from somewhere
else.
And
has been running into some form, Jesse, too.
Yeah.
Getting that tank working again. So, and, of course, it's a big week for him playing against his former side. Very big week.
15.3 Ks he ran.
Yeah.
That's a lot
of
running.
So he's the more than anyone.
Yeah, it's a lot of running to get over in a
for a centre-half forward.
If I've got my credit card out quarters and I'm about to buy a ticket on the bandwagon, Freo wins this one. I'll be buying, and
that's fair.
But I mean,
Melbourne are very gettable.
But I do feel this is it's easy to forget that Freo were 2-3 on the road this year. So and Essendon have got them on the road, and Gold Coast have got them on the road as well.
Yeah, but they've had a couple of good wins on the road too.
The
Giants in Canberra and Collingwood at the G.
It's a hard one to line up, and with Melbourne's problems with coping with teams on the spread, Brad Hill and Ed Langdon. And Stephen Hill, if he's better for the run from last week, they could do a mountain of damage to Melbourne on the spread. But I worry about the ruck. I think Melbourne's defence with Lever and May will cover the tall forwards quite well. And then it comes down to whether Hogan can fossick a couple and Matera can fossick a couple and Walters can keep kicking a couple and whether Freo can get themselves to 11 or 12 goals and make that enough to win the game. That's the sort of game I'm expecting.
I agree with you. It's interesting, Matera, too. We sort of forget him when we're talking about the Freo form this year, but he keeps kicking goals and he keeps kicking them at crucial moments.
Yep.
And it's probably the reason why, I know they need to see some more Ks in Bennell's legs, but it's probably the reason why he can't get in at the moment.
I think with Harley Bennell, there are two things, I think. One is what his GPS numbers are, and two is, when they look at behind the goals footage, is he defending the way they run their team defence? And I suspect when those two things fall into place, Harley Bennell's name will fall into place on the whiteboard for an AFL game. I think everything else is pretty much, you know, he's in good touch. The goal he kicked off half-back line for Peel is one of the highlights of the year, really.
Yeah.
Unbelievable goal. And the surge run he produced in that tells you that his top speed is back to
all little incremental signs that we, you know, that are very, they're pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, but we're all impatient, as Ross Lyon said yesterday. You know, he understands the impatience and the hype, but they need to get him ready to play AFL football for them.
Oh, geez,
the way they like to
play.
I'm
not sure if we're that impatient. We've shown a bit of patience, I think. It's been a while.
Well, we're very impatient now, though. Yeah. I mean, I would like nothing better. Well, I would have liked Harley Bennell to play last week.
Yeah.
You know, that was my view. But I guess they're doing a lot right at the moment, Freo, so we probably should show a bit of trust in them.
Yeah, and if they maintain this form, and you're talking about Bennell coming in with a good tank, and Lobb coming back, and maybe Sandilands coming back. Yeah, quite a formidable opposition they will provide.
An embarrassment of ruckches.
Yes, very good. I like it.
So margin under 10 for me.
Melbourne, I'm just going to say 2 goals, so 12 points. Yeah. St Kilda v Brisbane at Marvel Stadium. Really tempted to pick St Kilda here. Brisbane haven't been travelling that well. Haven't won outside Queensland since round 2. Having said that, I'm going to pick Brisbane to win this game. St Kilda haven't done too much wrong, so I'm probably a bit harsh on St Kilda, but Billings is in great form, Dunstan's in great form, Membry kicked 3 last week, he's been pretty good, but you just look at that Brisbane side, and it's seductive, you just want to pick them, and they're going to have to win. This is the sort of game they're going to have to win, I think, if they're going to keep their eyes on that top 4 spot for a start, and also to ensure that they do play finals, they're going to have to jag one of these sorts of games or 2 of these sorts of games. So I think they'd be penciling this in as a must win.
Yeah, I'm going to go for St Kilda in this game. Them coming back from the tropics bothers me a little bit, particularly with Shanghai somewhere in the distance behind that.
Yep.
It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of, you know, playing in humid conditions is a little bit more draining on players. But for me, Brisbane needs to stand up and claim the scalp of someone around them on the road before I'm prepared to tip them on the road. And this is in Melbourne, St Kilda's home deck. The last time Brisbane were on that deck, they coughed up a 37-point lead and got beaten by Carlton. I'm happy to get on the bandwagon when I see that, but I haven't seen it yet. So I'm going with the Saints.
Okay, I'm going Brisbane 8 points. You're going the Saints.
Saints by, similar margin. Under 3 goals, I think.
I reckon we'll be on opposite ends here too, the next game. Port Adelaide v Geelong at Adelaide Oval. Port, now the reason Geelong can win, obviously they're on top of the table and flying. Won 8 in a row. Also, I think they've won 14 of the last 15 against Port. All good reasons why they should win, even if Dangerfield misses through the birth of his second child. However, and the other reason is Port Adelaide, Launceston, China, Perth, a month on the road.
Yep.
But they're back at home. I'm picking Port here. Geelong's record is horrific after buys.
Yep.
And, yes, they've. I'm sure they've addressed it internally. But they're just, I hate saying they're due, but if they're going to drop one, this is the game they drop.
Mm.
And I think their record after buys prove, that they're very gettable in this situation. And Port were pretty good last week, I thought. So I'm going with them. I think it's going to be really close, but I think it'll be a bit of an arm wrestle to 3-quarter time, and then they'll have a typical Adelaide last quarter surge, or Port Adelaide last quarter surge, win by about 3.
I'm going to tip Geelong, but I fully accept your argument. And I tossed and turned a lot about this. And in the end, I just thought, go with what you know. And I don't know what Port Adelaide is going to turn up, but I do know Geelong has been the best team in the competition this year. So that's what I've gone with. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see an upset in this game. I think, it's hard to win in Adelaide. Which makes West Coast record there all the more remarkable.
Yeah, but 9 of the last 10 they've lost after a bye.
That's all interesting. And if Dangerfield comes out, that'll make it tough. But just get the feeling there's still a couple of missing elements
to
Port Adelaide. Yeah, and look, when Wines and Dixon are back and really up and going, it may be that those elements are basically in place. But right now, I just get the feeling that I thought it was a real slugfest against Fremantle last week, and some of the footy early in the last quarter before Walters kicked the goal that broke the deadlock was tough.
Mm.
So they can play tough, they can play fast. They've got two good ruckmen, they've got good mids. So there's a lot to like about Port, but I think they need Charlie Dixon in good nick, aiming at him and really have him going. And I think they need the extra grunt of Ollie Wines around the middle. And once they have those, and once they're back in and really going, because they might be back today because they're back playing. They might be back, sorry, this weekend because they're back playing. But you know, give them a few weeks to get up and going. Then I think we'll see Port Adelaide at their very best.
Sunday, final game of the round, Western Bulldogs v Collingwood at Marvel Stadium. Dogs have to win this if they're talking finals at all. They've got Collingwood, Port away, and then Geelong the week after. So they've got a big 3 weeks coming up. Collingwood, we've obviously seen, they've been in the news this week, Stevenson out for 10 weeks. I think they've got enough in their forward line to cover his absence. And I just look at that Collingwood side, and you just see depth everywhere. Dogs are going okay. They're an intriguing side, the Dogs. Really, really impressive midfield. We know that structurally a little bit down back and in attack, there are holes.
Mm.
But they get it. They get so much of the footy, but they just give you every chance. They give you every chance, the Western Bulldogs. They overpossess, I guess. I think Collingwood going okay. I think there's still more upside. Well, I said last week there's more upside to Collingwood than any other team. I'm not sure. I mean, Stevenson, I think, is that important. Yes, they have the depth, but I think he's that important. He just brings them back a peg, I reckon, his absence.
He probably makes – his absence makes DeGoey a little bit easier to counter,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It's, yeah.
You know, when you've got a guy as quick as Stevenson who can get out in space and you're trying to guard against that, and what that means is DeGoey gets caught in a lot of one-on-ones, and he's a very, very hard player to play.
Oh, he's a good player too, DeGoey.
And I think maybe he'll get a bit of a double team. But having said that, you know, there are other good players in the Collingwood forward line. I really like Will Hoskin-Elliott.
Yeah, he's a player.
And I think Thomas is a very opportunistic player too. I think he's good value as well. So
Cox.
Yeah, and you need that tall target. This is at Marvel, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes.
Yeah, so that kind of works in Western Bulldogs' favour, I think, because they'll feel like that's, you know, that's their territory. But also, I think it probably makes Stevenson's absence a little less critical. Stevenson
this
loves
week,
the width.
This
of,
week.
Yeah, for this week.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Pies. I think it'll be about a 4-goal victory.
I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
I'm going Collingwood, but I think it's under 3 goals. Well, I hope we've tipped you a couple of winners. How'd you go last week, Quarters? Was it
4.
A tough week?
Yeah. Steady.
Same as me. Pretty steady. A few blokes tipped 6, which was
amazing. I worked hard for a couple of those wins, eh? Jeez, I worked hard for a couple of them. I was just tired at the final siren.
Which ones did you sweat on most?
Oh, well, I'm just trying to go back to the weekend. St Kilda.
Yep.
Oh, jeez, I rode every kick in that last quarter.
Well, so did I.
Just needed to get one up.
I was on Gold Coast.
Yeah.
I just thought Gold Coast needed to win that game. I felt that they've been competitive, but when you're a team like Gold Coast, you don't get many looks at victory, and I thought that was a big loss for Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to make the end of the season a pretty long end, I reckon, for them. That's
Another thing. I've been waiting for them to fall over. I'm not sure if we're going to see as great a stumble. I think they're much better managed now.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. As Jaden Stevenson might say, please gamble responsibly.
I think he will from now on.
And please gamble according to the terms your employer has set for you. That would be probably more important. Hopefully you've tipped a few winners. Hopefully your team goes well. Hopefully we'll be back to talk to you again on Tuesday.
I won't be. I'll be absent for a week.
Your Quarters is taking a break. All that barracking for teams he's tipped has worn him out. He needs a bit of a
catching up with some family in Melbourne for the week, Duff, and may take in a game of footy at the G Saturday week too.
Well, make sure you barrack responsibly.
I will be barracking responsibly, probably in the confines of the members' stand.
Good luck with that.
Mm.
We'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us today.